11. When you find that, put your finger in that spot and then turn back to Matthew chapter number 6. In Luke's gospel in chapter number 11, it starts out like this. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place. Isn't it amazing that Christ thought it was very important to pray? You'll find him praying oftentimes in the Gospels. And when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now back in the book of St. Matthew, chapter number 6, verse number 5. Jesus speaking said, And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord, for your many blessings and mercies. God, how you've overshadowed us, God, and let us be at your house once again. And Lord, we are needed tonight, God, and I pray, Lord, the Holy Ghost would give us unction tonight, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to say anything, God, that you wouldn't approve of, Father. And, oh, Lord, we pray, God, you'd open our hearts and ears to your word tonight, Lord, and hear what you have to say. We'll give you glory and praise, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One disciple said, Lord, teach us to pray. You'll notice in the word of God that prayer is something that man has been using since way back in Genesis chapter number 4, when men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Prayer throughout the Old Testament, the old saints of God, prayer was a great weapon. Prayer was great power. It was a way that they could gain access to God and have favor with God. And we have that same privilege in our lives today. But I want us to give thought to what the disciples said there, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus was all through this chapter 5 and chapter 6 in the book of Matthew. This is a great Sermon on the Mount. Great teachings by the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he said, Lord, teach us. He didn't say, Lord, teach us to preach. Teach us how to teach. Lord, teach us how to heal. But the disciples saw something in the Lord Jesus Christ that caught their attention, that caught their interest. And they wanted to be able to pray as Christ prayed. And we, as the saved of God, if you've been saved by the grace of God, then I tell you tonight, the power of prayer is greater than any power this old world holds today. To be able to get in the throne room of God and access, friend, the power of God, it's a great privilege, a great honor, and a great gift that the saved of earth have. And yet, at the same time, I believe it's one of the most neglected things in this old world today. Amen. The power of prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. It's something that we all need to do, isn't it? Pray, pray. I wonder tonight, I don't want you to answer me, but I wonder, how's your prayer life? Have you prayed today? There's great need of prayer. There's people that are sick. There's people that are hurting. There's preachers that need prayer. Let me tell you, our teachers downstairs, they need prayer. We all need each other praying one for another. Lord, teach us to pray. Prayer is not telling God what we want. Amen. Too often when we pray, we pray in a way that we're counseling God, telling God what to do and how to fix things. But instead of praying that kind of prayer, we ought to be praying what He would have us to do. God, what's Your will for my life? And asking Him to use us to accomplish what He wants in our life. You know, God has got a purpose for you and me to be here in this old world. Amen. God has a purpose for our life. And we ought to be seeking that will and that purpose in our lives every day. Now, the Bible says a lot of things about prayer. Here's some things right here that prayer involves. It involves worship. It involves thanksgiving. It involves confession. It involves intercession. It involves supplication. It involves humility. You'll not get through to God with a proud heart. When you get in the bear, when you go to the throne room and get in touch with God and get in His presence, it ought to be an humbling experience to be in the presence of Almighty God. And it involves also forgiveness. And it involves submission. Submitting our life to His will for us and asking God to use us. Listen, friends. There may be more things that prayer involves in your life. These are just some of the things. You'll find throughout the Bible the posture for standing, for praying rather. Standing is one. Laying down is one. Kneeling is one way. Bowing is one way. Sitting is one way. With hands uplifted is another way. You see, we can pray to God. There's not any particular pattern of or position that we have to get in to pray. You can pray going down the road. Hey, there's no telling how many times that during this day today, I said, God, forgive me. How stupid I am. Forgive me. Forgive me for this thought I just had. Forgive me, Lord. I you can pray, and we need to pray. We need to be mindful of God's presence in our life. We don't need to forget about God. The Bible says that to pray without ceasing, doesn't it? Jesus said men ought always to pray and to faint not. There's a great need for us to pray. Hey, listen, there's some things that we need power over in our lives. Not only, friend, the prayer, what it involves in the posture, but the hindrances to prayer. A lot of times we're too defeated to pray and get through. Sin is one of the great hindrances to prayer. If we regard iniquity in our heart, the psalmist said, God will not hear us. In other words, we got to come clean with God. He knows all our heart. He knows all our sins. We might as well confess up. If we want to pray and get through to God, if we want God's favor, if we want God to hear our prayers, then we got to confess our sins and agree with God and just agree what sin is. You can't hide it. He knows all about it, so you just well to confess it. If you want God to hear your prayers. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time praying. Amen. A lot of times our prayers are wasted prayers because we got sin separating us from God. Not only that, but selfishness in our prayer life. Anybody selfish when they pray? James says we are. This is what James says right here in the book of James, chapter number 4. He says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and ye desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. You ask and receive not. Listen to this now. Because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Lust. How many times have we asked amiss for things that God just really ain't interested in us having? God is more interested in our spiritual aspect than our material things. Amen. Listen to me now. Listen, selfishness. We often pray selfish prayers. We live in a day and age of selfishness. Amen. Me, me, me. It's all about me, Lord. How many times do you get down and pray and you say, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. And we don't even think about a brother that's sick on a hospital bed or somebody that's in need or some preacher that's out there struggling trying to make a go of it and win souls to Christ. Missionaries out there struggling. Listen, we ought to be praying for them. Listen, it ain't all about me. Amen. God's been good to us, hadn't He? Amen. Listen, in Matthew 6 and 8, He says this. Your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Isn't that amazing? And He also says in Philippians chapter 4, God shall supply all your needs, not your greed. That's it. That word's needs. God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's amazing, isn't it? That's a promise. He didn't say might supply, He said shall supply. But listen, not only that, in Matthew 6 and 31, He says this, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whereof shall we be clothed? These are the words of Christ. He said, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Listen to this. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Those are the words of Christ. In other words, God is saying, if you'll put me first, I'll take care of your needs. But I'm telling you what, in this day and age that we live, Christ is way on down the line in most Christians' lives. We're eat up with lust, with materialism, loving the world and the things of this world, and we forgot about the God that saved us and who sustains us in life. Amen. You have to beg people to get to church. You have to beg people to be faithful. And God knows all about it. Listen to me now. I'm talking about teach me to pray, Lord, like You want me to pray. Teach me to pray, Lord, like You prayed. Help me to put on Your mind, Lord, when I pray, that I may be pleasing to You. Now I want you to notice this. The Bible also tells us that we don't know how to pray. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, the Bible says this, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And it goes on down a little further and says, Christ is at the right hand of God, also making intercession for us. And the Spirit is making intercession for us. Isn't it amazing that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is so interested in you and me that Jesus is praying for us, that the Spirit of God is making intercession for us. Why are we not making intercession one for another? It's very important, prayer. The great power that God has given us, the access that God has given us to His grace, His mercy. And yet we often neglect it until we get in a crisis. Amen. We have put God way, way, way on down the ladder until a crisis comes along. And then, boy, we want to reach down and pull Him up and make Him Lord of our life and get Him to help us through the crisis that's come upon us. We use God like a spare tire. God help us. You say, well, I ain't got nothing to pray about. Then that's a great reason you ought to be a praying. You ought to be a thanking Him. Thank you, Jesus, for being so good to me. Thank you, dear God, that I ain't in the hospital. Thank you, Lord, that I ain't got no troubles in my life right now. I bless you, dear God, for being good to me. Now let's go on just a little further in the book of Matthew. For the sake of time, I'm going to have to move on quickly right here. I want you to notice as Jesus was teaching His disciples how to pray right here. Notice this right here in verse number 6. He says, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The reclusion of prayer. Getting into the closet and shutting the door. You know what? Jesus, He got it right there. Get into your closet. I hope you've got a place that you get along with God. I hope you've got a place that you can go in and it's your altar place and it's a place that you can get down and the door is shut and nobody's around and no TV is going and let me tell you, shut the world out. And just get shut in with God and call upon Him and pray to Him and let's pour your heart out to Him. That's what we're missing today in our lives. We need people today that can get in touch with God, that's interested in praying to God our Father and getting some help for our lives, for our church, for our children. We need it. God has made a way. That's the amazing thing. God has paid the price that we can do this. And we ought to have a place that we can just get in and just and shut everything else worldly out. Clear your mind and focus on God and the will of God. The reclusion. But not only that, in the same verse, He speaks about rewards. He said, when you pray in secret, your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I'm glad to thank God in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, the Bible says that there is a throne of grace. And He says that we can approach it boldly. Amen. Hey, and we ought to approach it humbly. Have you ever really given any thought to this throne of grace? Jesus died on Calvary's cross. The veil of the temple was rent from the top down to the bottom, and it opened up a way that we could go into the holy place, and there we could have a throne of grace, and we could call upon God and seek His favor, seek His face. And the Bible says it's there that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. And we are needy. Let me tell you something, friend. These things that man can't do for you, but God can. Amen. We need more God in our life and less trust in man. Amen. We ought to be trusting in God, our Heavenly Father. Look for His rewards, friend. I'm glad, thank God, there's a throne of grace that a sinner saved by grace can fall on his face before God with thanksgiving and praise, worship and adoration to the God of glory. Realize that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and His ears are open unto their cry. Let me tell you something, friends. You'll get, hey, if you'll follow the pattern of prayer that Jesus lays out right here in this Bible right here, you can get in touch with God. And He will hear your prayer. And He will answer. And He will be your help in time of trouble. God's been good to us. The rewards. But notice this right here in verse 9. The relationship. He says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'm glad I've got a relationship with God tonight. I'm glad He is my Father. I'm glad I've been bought. I'm glad I've been born again. I'm glad I'm in the family of God tonight. I'm glad I've got sonship, membership, citizenship. I'm a child of God tonight, and I can come before and say, Our Father, my Father, hey, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'm glad He's my Father. Notice Jesus said, Our Father. This thing's for the whole family of God. It ain't just for me. It's for all of us. Our Father, which is in heaven. Oh, I'm glad tonight I've got a relationship. And it gives me a right to call upon His name. I remember when I was a little old boy. I didn't worry about nothing, Brother Lee. My earthly father took care of me. He saw that I was fed. He saw that I was clothed. He saw that I had a roof over my head. He took care of me. How much more will your Heavenly Father see to your needs if you just get in touch with Him? Call upon Him. We can approach Him just like a child to a daddy. Our Heavenly Father. Not only the reclusion, the rewards, the relationship, but the reverence. Reverence. Verse number 9. It says, After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God's holy. God is so holy, He won't look upon sin. It ought to awe us to be able to go into His presence. Sinful creatures like we are. Wicked as we are. To be able to go into the holy presence of God. And realize that He wants us to. And when we approach God, we ought to be humble. He ought to humble us. God looks upon humbleness and contrition. And we ought to be that way. When we consider what we are. And what we deserved. And yet He saved us by His grace. The great price of the blood of Jesus. This is a pattern that Jesus is telling. He's not telling His disciples to pray this prayer every time you pray. But it's a pattern. And any time we come into the presence of God, He said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It has a sense of worship. Worship. We come into His presence. Worship Him. He's worthy to be worshipped. Jesus paid it all. All to Him we owe. He's worthy tonight to be worshipped and honored. Our approach ought to be humble. Our attitude ought to be thankful. Did you realize that there's not one blessing that God has bestowed upon you that you deserve? We don't merit the blessings of God. God gives us freely all things. Because if we got what we deserve, we'd be in hell. Not only the reverence as we approach God and worship Him. It says, Hallowed be thy name. Holy be thy name. We honor Your name, Lord. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for the name that's above all names. We thank You, Lord, that there's no other name under heaven given among men where we could be saved, Lord. But we thank You, Lord, for sending Jesus into this world to die for our sins that we might have life. Worship Him when you pray. If you will, your prayer life will change. Start your prayer life off with worship. It'll change your life. The reverence. Holy. Honor Him. Glorify Him. Magnify Him. Reverence His name. And worship Him. Part of our prayer should include that. Now, next, I want you to notice the request in verse number 10. He says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Jesus teaching us how to pray now. This is, if you notice the steps of prayer that Jesus has laid out right here. Worship. The will of God. It ought to be in our minds that foremost in prayer that God's will be done. Amen. Not man's will, but God's will. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. God has a plan for this whole world. And we ought to be, listen, if you believe this Bible right here, Jesus is soon to come. Even so, come Lord Jesus. We ought to be praying for His kingdom. His kingdom to come, for His will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. We ought to be interested in the will of God. And we ought to be interested in doing what we can to be an instrument in letting God use us to accomplish His will in this earth. And whether you do or not, it's going to be accomplished anyway. But I'm just glad that God's letting me have a little part of it, ain't you? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God's in control of it all. Amen. And He's working things out for His good pleasure. We ought to be interested in what He's doing. Amen. Not only the request, which ought to be focusing on the rule and the reign of Christ, and Him accomplishing His will and fulfilling His word. But notice this in these requests. Next thing. He said, and give us this day our daily bread. You realize the hand that feeds you?
Yes, sir.
We ought to be thankful every time we take something.
Amen.
A meal. We ought to thank Him for it.
Yes, sir.
And not only the physical food, but the spiritual food. Listen, the Bible tells us when we enter into these doors right here, we ought to enter in with thanksgiving. Amen. And with praise. We ought to be thankful that God has allowed us to sit in heavenly places. And listen, have a man of God stand before us anointed with the Holy Ghost of God to look into the Word of God and to feed the flock of God. Friend, we ought not to take Him for granted when He blesses our soul by coming to church and getting something from the Word of God. Give us this day our daily bread. Hey, not just give me a hamburger, Lord, but give me something out of the Word of God. I need the Word of God in my life to help me to walk through this life in the will of God. And you do too. You need the Word of God on a daily basis. Give us this day our daily bread. And He goes on, He says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. We need to be forgiveness. Forgiving. Amen. Forgiving to one another. As God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. We ought to be tender-hearted, loving one another. Not only that, but this thing of forgiveness. We ought to realize, friend, that we still sin, though we're saved. Our sins are under the blood. And yet on a daily basis, where not a one in this house right here can go through a day without sin. And when we come before God, He wants us to confess our sins. He said if we would, He'd be faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and keep the fellowship with God intact. I need forgiveness. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. And if we'll come before God, if we'll confess our sins and just agree with God what He says about sin, it's sin. It ain't no mistake. It's sin. And if we'll just agree with Him, He's promised us to cleanse us. You can't do anything for God in an unclean, in an unclean spirit within you. Bitterness within you. Unforgiveness towards a brother or a sister. He tells us that that's a great hindrance in our spiritual life. Amen. And if we're going to have fellowship with God, then we're going to have to be forgiven. We have to forgive one another. Ever how hard it is, we have to. Not only that, forgiveness, friend, but notice what He says right here about the flesh. He says, and lead us not into temptation. This flesh is easily led astray. Now, Jesus does not tempt any man with sin. We're led astray by our own lust. And what Jesus was teaching you and I right here is, Lord, help me in my stupid flesh not to be led away by temptations and the lust and the things that this flesh goes after. God, lead me and guide me. Hey, the flesh, not on the flesh, but the foe. When He goes on speaking right here, He says, and deliver us from evil. Or deliver us from the snares and the temptations that the devil has for us out here in this old world. And let me tell you, He knows your weakness tonight. Amen. He knows just exactly what to do out in front of you to catch you in His snare and to lead you into sin and defilement and separation from the blessings of God. And you better ask Jesus every day, deliver me from temptation and from the wiles of the devil. Not only the reclusion of prayer, the rewards, relationship, the reverence in prayer, the request in our prayer life, but lastly this, the recognition in our prayer life. Notice what He says right here. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. For you, O Lord, are sovereign. You, O Lord, can do all that I could ask or think. You have the power. Thine is the kingdom and the power. And all glory is yours, Lord. And all eternity belongs to you, Lord. Glory to your precious name. And He said forever, amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm going to work on my prayer life. Amen. Jesus died that we might have that privilege. The throne of grace. And we live in a great need today of prayer warriors. Christians saying, I will pray. I will make me a place to pray. I will be faithful in prayer. I will pray for my brothers, my sisters, for the teachers, for the missionaries, for the preachers. I will pray that God's will be done in my life and in this earth. Amen. I appreciate you being here this evening.